Threatening a review of relations if the results were, as he put it, tarnished. So what's the thinking in Washington now? Kurt Weldon is a Republican congressman and co-chair of the Congressional Caucus on Ukraine.
I think the world community has to come together with these international observers that were in Ukraine and very quickly assess the extent to which irregularities occurred. And then the U.S. should get behind the recommendations of those inspection teams. Then the U.S., along with other international leadership, and that includes the European community, should then call upon the Ukrainian government to perhaps either answer for these irregularities or perhaps call for new elections.
And failing that, if they fail to respond to that call, what then? Sanctions?
Well, all of us who put significant money into Ukraine, economic investment, U.S. tax dollars for various programs, need to continue to impress upon President Kuchma and the existing government that this is not the way a democracy works. If, in fact, what Yushchenko's team is alleging, that this is not acceptable, and there should be negotiations to reach a compromise as to how to go forward. The last thing we want is civil unrest in the streets of Ukraine.
Right, but if that civil unrest escalates and turns into revolution, what would Washington do? Merely stand idly by and see what happens?
No, I think Washington would consult, first of all, with President Putin and Russia, since they have such a strong interest in the elections in Ukraine as well, and work things out peacefully there. I think Washington has to have a proactive effort, but it should not be done alone. It should be done in the context of working within the OSCE. And any discussions with the existing Ukrainian government should be done in concert with the OSCE reps and what they actually found. And then if the Ukraine government doesn't want to respond in a positive way to the allegations of corruption or abuse of the electoral process, and then the U.S. has to reassess what its entire position is going to be with Ukraine. I would hope that we wouldn't reach that position, having met with President Kuchma personally on probably five occasions that he's told me and understand his intent was to have free and fair elections, and I take him at his word for that.
Is there a danger?
Hello, sir. Coming to you in about a minute now.
Fine.
Thanks very much.
Critical time could lead to a sort of vicious tug of war between the West and Russia over what's going to happen to it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been very obvious with President Putin making at least two major visits into Ukraine, appearing with Yanukovych, that they had come down on the side of President Yanukovych. That's obviously a sign that Russia has a very strong interest. And America has a strong interest, but my position was not to take sides, but rather simply say, we will accept the will of the Ukrainian people in free and fair elections. What we have to convince the Russians in is that, yes, we want Ukraine to be friends with Russia, irregardless of who wins. But Ukraine should not be a part of a tug of war where the West and the East go back and forth to try to put their hand-picked candidate in office. That's the last thing the Ukrainian people need right now. And unfortunately, that appears to be what's happening.
Republican Congressman Kurt Weldon.
Well, among the many countries watching nervously what's happening in Ukraine is Canada, which has a large Ukrainian immigrant population. The Ukrainian ambassador to Canada has been summoned to the foreign ministry in Ottawa to hear the government's concern about alleged election irregularities. On the line now is Dr. Lubomir Luchuk, director of research at the Ukrainian-Canadian Civil Liberties Association. He's also professor of political geography at the Royal Military College of Canada in Kingston, Ontario. We've almost got civil unrest on the streets. What do you make of the situation?
Well, unfortunately, we're asking the puppet master why the puppet is dancing a jig instead of a waltz. What we have is many Western commentators and Western politicians saying we have to ask Russia what it thinks about what happened in Ukraine, and that's outrageous. The will of the people of Ukraine was very clearly demonstrated in the election. They voted for Mr. Yushchenko. Unfortunately, the president of Ukraine today, Mr. Kuchma, anointed Mr. Yanukovych, and he enjoys the support of President Putin in Russia. Russia has imperial pretensions towards Ukraine. In the past, great Russians abrogated the history of Ukraine. The Soviets beggared the land and butchered the people. And today we have a contest between, if you like, Democrats and dictators. And I'm stunned to hear people talk about needing to consult with a dictator about the fate of 48 million people in Europe. Ukrainians want to be part of Europe.
And just to be clear about this, you are perfectly comfortable making all those allegations from the distance that you do?
Absolutely. The email traffic today from Ukraine was outstanding. I've never seen anything like it. I had emails from correspondents, people I trust, credible witnesses in Kiev, in Lviv, in Simferopol, in Odessa, and even in Kharkiv. And the consensus was that the election was stolen, that it was an illegitimate election, that the regime that exists today, ostensibly as a result of this election, is not legitimate. So we would certainly be calling upon all European countries, the United States and Canada, to accept the will of the people of Ukraine, which was pro-Yushchenko, pro-West, pro-Europe, pro-democracy, not a post-Soviet limbo.
But in what way accept the will of the people? What are governments like the U.S., Canada, European Union officials, what are they supposed to do now?
Well, now that we know that the election was stolen, now that we have credible evidence from observers on the ground from many different countries and many different organizations, all of whom agree that the election was an illegitimate election, we can start thinking about sanctions. We can start thinking about freezing bank assets. We can start thinking about putting people on visa lists, restricting their access to Western markets. The reality is that the people of Ukraine want to be living in a democratic European country, and our near neighbor, Russia, where there are many, by the way, good Democrats, people who want a better future for themselves, and they belong in Europe too, nevertheless, they find themselves under a regime that is dictatorial in some respects, and that regime seems to feel that it can impose its will on its neighbor, and I think that's unacceptable in today's Europe. We have to move into a Europe of the future, a Europe that's inclusive, a Europe that's democratic, a Europe where the will of the people is expressed in free and fair elections, and what we have seen in Ukraine is not a free and fair election. We have a regime that has imposed itself with the assistance of anti-democratic forces in the near neighborhood, and that regime seems to think that if it just waits out these protests, which are continuing, as you pointed out, that it can get away with it. I think we need to make it very clear that you can't get away with anti-democratic manipulation in today's Europe, in today's world. This is simply unacceptable. This is the 21st century, not the 18th century.
Okay, Dr. Lubomir Luchik of the Ukrainian-Canadian...
Thank you very much indeed for that.
Thank you. I hope that was good.